Can I see our hands? Encourage me. Lift it very well. Uh-huh. So it's a lot of people here. Almost half of the people weren't around. So what I would just do is, and of course, you can't preach the same message twice as the same thing. Or I can't, because I don't usually like have a structure. So I'll just speak to some of the things that I've already spoken to. And there are certain thoughts that perhaps I left out, or thoughts that I added in that, God willing, I will touch. So last week, two weeks ago, we were looking at Luke chapter 7. We're looking at what I called great faith, or what Jesus himself called. He says he hasn't seen such great faith like this, no, not in Israel. And if Jesus points to the demonstration of faith and labels it great faith, it's important that at least once in a year, all of us should go and gather there and look at what he means by great faith. Because from time to time, Jesus will look at certain people. In fact, in that chapter, he looked at two people. He commended two types of faith, or commended three types of faith. He spoke about great faith in the beginning. He spoke to John the Baptist and says, blessed is he that is not offended in me, which was a demonstration of faith. John had faith that he was who he is. In fact, Bible says faith cometh by the word, right? The word of the Lord said to John, he said, upon whom you find or the dove dwells, that is the one you are preparing the way for. And John understood that. And John even said in, I think, John chapter 1 or chapter 2, no, chapter 2 or chapter 3, where he said that he must increase and I must decrease. So John was on a journey of faith already. He was already walking by the constitution of God's word, or what God has said. And then he got to a point in John's life. John looks back, and I mean, pastor usually takes us to this part of John's life when things weren't really working as it should work. Here was a man that everyone was scared of. He would look at Romans, he would look at publicans, he would look at Pharisees, looked at all of them, and he could call them names. You brood of vipers, and bring up fruits that are worthy of repentance. He would say things like that. All of a sudden, John is in a place now where he's locked up because he said something that perhaps he had said even worse than that. And now he's locked up, and the scenario is looking dicey. And then all of a sudden he sends his own disciples and says, go and ask him. Go and ask the one that I said to him that I had the word from the Lord. Please ask him if he's the one, or we should wait for another. It's still a demonstration of faith, but sometimes, you know, faith wavers. Some of us have said certain things to the Lord that we've said, and at the moment we're saying it, it meant more to us than the biggest mountains in the world. We've had faith sometimes that you're in that zone, and if anything were to happen to you, then you believed God and you believed it could move away. But just then you had to just take a nap, and you slept, and then you woke up, and then you just realized that your heart has shifted to somewhere else, and then the pussycat does meow, and then you're afraid. But this was the same you that 2 minutes ago. And it's also consistent. You look at Peter. A point in time come, Peter came, looked at Jesus and said, you are the Son of God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven, right? And then all of a sudden, couple of verses down the line, Peter looked at Jesus and said something else. And the Lord said to him, get behind me, Satan. But most of us are like that. We are wavering from time to time. Or we have seasons like that. And that was just a measure. It's still a measure of faith anyways. So there was great faith in the beginning. There was wavering faith at the middle. And there was another faith just down the line with the woman. Jesus said to her, your faith has made thee whole. The woman who, Bible says, has sinned was many. You know, there are certain people where God looked down and God said, this one's sin is many. You didn't catch that. God looked at someone and said, this one's sin is plenty. Some people's sin are not plenty. You know, like that guy where he went to Jesus at night and Jesus said to him, said, go and do this. Go and say, I've done that. I've kept it since my youth. And Jesus said to him, sell all you have and follow me. It wasn't a question of whether he could count his sin. He could barely count his sin with the palm of his hand. But this woman, her own case, Jesus said, nah, there are many, there are plenty. What I'm forgiving her for are plenty. And you see another demonstration of faith there. Because the woman just kind of just knew. The analogy Jesus gave was as if Jesus went before and then came back. We might get there today. Praise God. So we're talking about great faith and we're talking about this guy. This, can we start from verse 1? Let's just quickly read them. We'll then gist around this. Are we blessed? Praise the Lord. I'm just doing like this trailer flow, Abby. I will calm down. Hallelujah. I need an anki so I can do like Pastor Zach. Now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. I think Jesus did a lot of miracles in Capernaum. Now, next verse. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. Another translation says was worthy. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, trouble not yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not in Israel. Next. And those who were sent returning to the house found the servant well who had been sick. So it's an amazing portion of scripture. It's almost, like I was saying last week, almost every line throws an insight into, you can, the more I just stay there on this, the more things I see. Praise the Lord. And let's just go back to verse 1. So, some of the things we said the last time, we said the first thing he did was that he heard of Jesus. Praise God. He heard of Jesus. As simple as that thing is, do you realize, or do we realize, I was thinking about it today, that you forget what you've heard of Jesus? Do you realize that you should spend your time, you really, really should spend your time hearing of Jesus? Praise God. That no matter the scenario you are in, you just need to hear of Jesus. Do we get it? He said he heard of Jesus. And what he heard prepared him for the journey. That was the beginning. He just heard of Jesus. Several people had heard of Jesus. Again, two things. You can hear of him, but what you make of what you hear of him is what we call faith. You didn't catch that. You can hear of him. What you make of what you hear of him is what you call faith. But you cannot have faith if you do not hear of him. You cannot walk faith if you do not hear of him. Do we hear what we're saying? Sometimes we are lost in the semantics and in the revelations and in everything that you will actually see that what you are hearing about is not really him, but you. You are locked up in how much change you need to have. You are also locked up in the problem that is before you, that you are not hearing of Jesus again. Hallelujah. Can we hear of Jesus tonight? Can you look at that scenario? Can you look at that position? Can you look at that mountain? Can you look at that thing that is so difficult, or what that thing you are believing God for, and hear of Jesus? And hearing of Jesus is not just hearing for things or hearing for problems. Even the growth and the spiritual dimensions you are praying for God for, can you just hear of Jesus? Can you hear about Jesus? You want him to ravage your heart. That is a very good problem that you have placed before him. Of course, we know that if anything that God will do with us is always on almost every time, no matter Not one single time outside the realms of faith. Sometimes God will take sovereign steps and the man does not have faith. But the end of it is that such that the guy will have faith. Because if it is not of faith, it is of sin. Praise the Lord. Like faith is cardinal to everything. Like there is no New Testament without faith. Faith is the basis of the New Testament. At least from us to him. And then we also know that if we dig deep, we actually realize that it's from him to us. Because Jesus went about doing good so that one man can hear of him. No, Jesus has made moves in this earth so that you can hear of him. He has moved with the Father so that you can hear of him. You didn't catch that. In fact, the Bible says the Old Testament was given for our example so that we can hear of him. And where he said that, he said it was the rock that was following them. Praise God. Have you heard of Jesus lately? Have you heard of him in that position you are in? That challenge you are in? That desire? Because I'm not just talking desires. I've thought once that our life is not to move from mountain to mountain. That's not the definition of our life. That's not the definition of our Christian work. Can I announce to someone today that if everything this faith is all about is about God solving one problem after the other, you've not started walking with the Lord. You've not started. You are not growing. You've not started working with the Lord. If it's that last week it was my rent, this week is my school fees, next week is my house rent, next other week is my birthday, next week is my health, you have not started working with the Lord. Praise God. The basis of our work with him is that we grow. And we will see that one of the things we define faith here, we said faith is what causes internal restructuring. That's the purpose of faith. The purpose of faith is that when you have faith, that There is a you that is in God's heart and is God's mind that Christ made. There's a new creation reality that we preach and we hear about, right? Faith is directing you and molding you into that which is in God. That's the purpose of faith. You don't know what I'm saying? The purpose of faith is receiving. But what you're receiving is not external alone. I explained to us the last time. I said, Abraham is looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Right? He was looking for something he would not see with his eyes. For God to get him on that journey, God needed him to believe for his son that is physical. Hallelujah. And one of the mistakes we make is this. We are either chasing what is physical alone, and we are not chasing what is not seen. Or we are chasing what is not seen, or we are supposedly chasing what is not seen, and we say there is nothing physical. So there is nothing for God to walk in. So we are punching the air. You didn't catch what I'm saying. That you can be spiritual enough to say that you don't want God to do anything for you. That God, don't worry about my job. Don't worry about my health. Don't worry about anything. God is not working any faith in you. I will say it over and over again. Because you see, these physical things, he is using as instruments, not in themselves. So if you deny it, you are denying the workings of God. Praise God. What was I before I went to this direction? Faith. It's about internal restructuring. It's that there is a man God has seen, and there is a man God has made. There is a full deposit. There is a full deposit. There is a full you. There is nothing you will become that will shock God. There is nothing you will become that will shock God. But there are many things you will become that will shock the world. It says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has he entered into the heart of any man what God had in store for them that love him. He is the one that has it in store. He says, before you were formed, I knew you. So the man was walking backwards. He was walking backwards, not necessarily walking forward. Every day God was marking it. Like, no, this is not the plan. However, God would then institute physical paradigms or physical ladders. I don't know what to call it. That as you move from one to the next, what he's achieving is beyond what you're receiving. We've said it here before, that God has never, he has never given someone a car in his life. He has never given someone a house in his life. He has given peace. And that peace, in his physical expression, came as a car. You didn't catch that. He has given hope. Another pastor, you know, your pastor keeps teaching us that if you trust God for this, and next time this comes around, and God does not expect you to have the same level of worry that you had the first time. Why?
Internal shift.
He has put some, he has now placed certain levels of trust. And that is what he looks at. Every time he looks down from heaven, he's looking at your trust level. He's looking at your confidence level. He's looking at your assurance level. That is what God is building. Because when God looks behind, when he looks at the man he made him full. When God made Adam full and he was gravitating, praise God, in the physical, Adam was full of everything. There was nothing missing in the arrangement God made for Adam. Nothing missed. There was nothing. But he was yet not complete. Because he had not still eaten of Christ. Right? You know, I was listening to Papa Egan preaching. And, you know, sometimes you will read a portion of it. You can read it a billion times. You'd not just see it. And it's not revelation. It's English. But you didn't see it. Do you know they cover us from seeing English? Papa Egan said, God created everything with the word of his mouth, but not man. I said, man. He said, except man. When I remember though. He said, now let us make man in our own. Hey! Is it first true, Biggie? I lost my seat. Like, okay. But that's actually true. Then I now went inside my heart. I said, Jesus, which one is this? All this were made by your word, though. Show me. He now said, remember. That he's still going to eat of the fruit that is called the word of life. Or what's the name of that fruit? He said, the tree of life, which is Christ, which is the word of God. So God was telling me that. I see, I don't know that revelation. This one I've even confessed. I should not have mentioned it. Everything was made by his word. Man too, made by his word. Don't get yourself confused. But when he said that, it shook me. Praise God. So internal restructuring. That's what faith is. And I'm asking us that there must be you. This is why you have to chase that admission. It's one of the reasons why you have to chase the admission. And it's also one of the reasons why the admission does not define you. That's the double edge. It's the reason why the admission does not. So if you don't have the admission, you won't kill yourself. It doesn't define you. But if you do not chase the admission, you won't achieve what God wants to achieve in your heart. There's something God wants to achieve. This is why if you perceive God that called you to business, this is why you have to chase the business. But this is also why you cannot chase the business like the world chases the business. You must understand that when you get that contract, you need to always set your heart and say, what have I gotten? What is this that I have really received? Praise God. You know, if we walk in this, it's a kingdom mindset that has a shift. Everything becomes redefined. I remember the time I got the scholarship, and Pastor Zach looked at me and said, because people were celebrating, Pastor Zach said, they don't get it. And I said, they don't get it. Because it came after many years of fumbling with no basis. You know how you make mouth with no basis? This is what makes you make mouth with no basis. And I say, God will take care of me. No basis. 8 months, I didn't have a job. No basis. I got my first job 5 months. Working for free. I've told you guys before. Sorry, you know that we just have one life. Which means that you will hear and hear the analogy. Hear it. In the next 50 years, this is the same analogy will be given. Again, there's no message you will preach. When I was on the death of affliction, as a 17-year-old boy, it's in all books. Is it not in all the books? It's in all the books. You will hear it. When Jesus appeared to me in the camp meeting, you will hear. So don't fret. We are not under pressure to look for new stories. And so every time we mention this same story, just smile. Let it have the same effect. You might even hear something I did not hear the last time I said the same thing. Thank you. Anyways, so 9,000 naira job. We were still saying the same thing. In fact, sometimes I feel like I had more faith those days than I have now. I'm telling you. Sometimes I feel like you don't understand the season you are in. Guys, if you understood the seasons you are in, you will be rejoicing. You don't understand the seasons you are in. Honestly, you don't. You think that a time will come, you will just be spiritual. You don't know how spiritual you are right now. You don't know. Seriously, you don't know. You don't know the sweetness of your Bible study right now. You don't. And I wish you would. I wish you will get that it's a journey. And that these foundations are as critical as the roof. You don't get. You know, when you're coming from 50 kilometers, you see the roof. And there are some houses with beautiful roofs. But you won't necessarily see the foundations. But these foundations, they are so sweet. They are the ones that gives confidence for years to come. Praise the Lord. And for the young people in the house, you've got to enjoy this season. Enjoy this one that you are still coming and say, I don't understand this thing. And they are teaching you. Praise God. Because sometimes, even when I hear the foundational, again, it's sweet. Now I'm listening to Kenneth Egini again. This is not milk now. You know, there was a time I was made to think that it is the milk of the world. It's not milk. How can it be milk? A man is preaching, two angels are in the house. It's not milk. I said, and he will stutter and he will preach again. It's not milk. It's not. Praise God. Praise God. So faith is God's curriculum for internal restructuring. Is that as we engage the Lord and as we believe for things, we are seeing shifts in our internal makeup. That is the journey of faith. Praise God. And it is captured in God and the world and nature and the devil, all of them put together. In what they throw at you. Everything that is thrown at you becomes a tool for inner shift. And the restructuring is after the order of the new nature you have received. Praise God. Do we get what I'm saying? I'm saying that there is a glorious you inside you. There is a powerful you inside you. There is the you that is sent to the world. It is already inside as you are sitting. Faith is what shifts your heart to reach it. Praise God. God needs you to be able to endure. God needs you to be able to pray through. And if you get into school immediately, you won't pray through. You will do shakara. So you will delay the school a little bit. Yeah, pray through. Is it so difficult for him to give you admission? It's not so difficult. And two, is he a wicked father? No, he's not a wicked father. So if he's denying you and he's making you believe and making you pray, what do you think he's achieving? Is building a nature inside you. It's helping you recover that which you are. That's the role of faith. And we need to get it. And we need to be aggressive. You know, and I said it last week. I said, when you listen to these old guys, they talk about money a lot. They talk about, I'm going to a place to preach, and I'm concerned if they'll be able to give me my offering. Because they were living in a very hard time. But we also know that these men did not like money. So I'm asking myself, why must he believe for $150 monthly to meet his need? But he's an apostle to the world. Perhaps, is that apostleship to the world? It's in those little steps that God begins to form modes of faithfulness. If he does not, listen, if he breaks through, boom, at once, and he cannot trust God for step by step recovering and delivering, he won't have stamina to receive that which is eternal. This also helps us understand that every engagement we are in, that's why God said, everything you do, do as unto the Lord. Why is he saying that? Because he understands that all those engagements are shells for eternal substances. You didn't catch that? That washing plate then becomes part of the work of faith.
Doing the design then becomes part of the work of faith. I said something. Someone I respect very much at work, we're talking. I've told you guys now that kitchen at work, sometimes I go 30 minutes, 40 minutes, and we're just talking. And sometimes it's a fantastic message. And we're talking, and she looked at me, and she said, do you know that you have a way of, things are clear to you. I smiled. You see, I would never have articulated it until she said it. She said, no. And she was talking about, she said, I know it's part of the job, but I know it's not a natural ability. I said, eh. I said, it's called understanding. It's the first time I'll say it. And the reason I had confidence to say it was someone was saying it to me. I said, yes, nah. You know, it would be difficult for you to say, no, I have understanding. You say you are proud, right? But she said, and I know it. Because sometimes we are discussing things, and I will be like, this is 1, 2, 3, 4, this is it all. I am supposed to have a job, and I'm always afraid. Like, I go to my presentations with my own notions, and it's unethical. You don't understand? I don't have a research backing. Honest, and I tell them, take it to the bank. This is what it is. I'm always afraid. I'm like, one day someone tell me, where did you get it from? And I have to tell them, I just know it. I did a framework once. I was doing a presentation. I did a framework. I just broke it down. The first person I showed it to looked at and said, ah, let's make this a group property. I said, ah, is it? Ah, is it? It's just normal. Now. Like, you people don't see it. Like, these are the pillars. I was saying what millennials want and the corresponding passion that follows it. And I just listed it. Make me rich, make me happy, make me popular, make me this, make me that. And I just listed it. And then I said, put in. And the person said, no. And I realized that almost every presentation we've had, we always put that in at the beginning. Because it's as if no other person has it. I'm like, it's no manner. In fact, one day when we had used and we're pitching a bank, and we got and we're discussing at the office because everybody we now use it. Like, okay, so what will we place them on this your chart? And we discussed them, so we'll place them here and here. And I was the one making the presentation. I said, before you people put me in trouble, I'm not going to tell the bank where they should play. Because I don't know. It's a pitch. I don't want to tell them to play. And they'll say, no, that's not where we are playing. So I'll leave it to them. They'll choose where they want to play. But we already said where they should play. So we're presenting. Bah! We're presenting. I was just going. The moment I got to that slide, the old guy was sitting down there. The moment I went to the slide after, I said, wait, go back. I went back. Looked at it. Said, where do we play here? My mom said, you're not going to cobalize me. Then she said, I think we play in A and B. And it was exactly the A and B we said at the office. And I said to her, I said, well, that was all we said at the office, but I didn't want to come out here and shame myself. That's why I not put it there. I said, no, you are right. You are right. We play in A and B. The downloads of faith in our heart is way more than we are able to capture. This God shifting us on the inside. Do you know that it takes faith to leave every area of your life? I'm still going to come back to the text. That faith is not, guys, faith is not only in terms of receiving. I said it last week. Faith is for living. Bible says, and the just shall live by faith. When you look at the one that is justified, his vehicle for movement in the natural and in the spirit is called faith. And it is based on a clarity of who his God is and who his God is to him. And that is why you will see in the text, it started from the guy saying he heard of Jesus. So, to grow faith and to grow great faith, we must consume ourselves with the knowledge of our God. in both scripture and in hearing. Because faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing by what? The word of the Lord. Do you get what we're saying? You must get into the habit of hearing. You want to have a successful marriage. The marriage is going to be lived by faith, because the just shall live by faith. You will then now surround yourself with words from the Lord and of the Lord that tells you about great marriages. I tell people, I said, our parents didn't have the best of marriage. And when you come from such a background, there are two things. You can either then decide to say, my case is different. Or you can decide to say, well, this is all I know. Praise God. But even if you wanted to say your case is different, the problem is this, that you have no examples of different cases. So I now said, by providence, God surrounded me with marriages that worked. And one day, I sat alone and I said to myself, don't try to feel good. And don't try to convince yourself. Don't try to preach anything. And I looked at my hand and I said, you have better, more good examples than bad ones. You didn't catch that. I looked at my husband and said, let's tell the truth. If you become a bad husband, like my spirit was telling me, don't blame it on your parents' marriage. Why? Because I have surrounded you with more good marriages than bad ones. You are trusting God for healing. The answer is there. You just go on the internet. You will gather healing tapes. I heard Crefodola. I heard someone preaching, said he had something. I don't know if it's cancer or something. He said the guy packed all his tapes. He was the one that preached it though. He didn't say I've preached it. He packed all his tapes, rented an hotel room, locked himself inside, and was just listening to his own tapes. He was listening to his own tapes and confessing. Listen, then he came out, went back to the doctor, said, yeah, come and check again. You've got to hear. You've got to hear.
Yes.
You've got to hear, guys. You want to walk with God at a certain dimension. Listen, you quit looking at yourself too much. The distance, you would not. Sometimes when we focus on ourselves, we kill faith. Yes. When you focus on your shortcoming, you kill faith. Lord, this self and flesh, I want it to go. I really want it to go. See, it is good. It's good that you understand your own limitation. Then you surround yourself with saints. You then read saintly books. You get old saints like Saint Augustine. When you read those things, Thomas Kemp, or what that thing? Kempis. Those books, you can't get past the fourth chapter. If you get past the fourth chapter, you are reading the letter, not the spirit. I tell people, my best book in the world, I've bought it like 6 times. I've never read it finish. It's called The Pursuit of God, W.A. Tozer. I don't understand how you guys finish reading it. Because by chapter 2, I'm done. I'm gone. I don't understand. Like, that book, chapter 1, I'm almost crying. Chapter 2, I'm gone. I can't read it. It's where my soul is, what I want. I don't want it in my head. I want it in my heart. So those are the internal restructuring that we first did. So the first thing we said last week was that he heard of Jesus. And I can emphasize this all for tonight. You've got to hear of Jesus, guys. You've got to hear of him. And Jesus is multifaceted. Jesus is wide. Jesus is a whole book. It's a whole library. The Bible says if all the things in this world, all the books in this world were to be written, then it cannot contain him. Praise God. And one of the things we also said last week, and I think this is also important, I said that God won't be validated by the demands of your life, seeing as he is eternal. Do you know what I'm saying? That you are not married and God gives you a husband. Let's ask ourselves, everything we trust God for, many people in your environment, have it.
Whatever it is, you are trusting God for, you are praying. You are praying down. God, give me, give me, give me.
Half of the people, 90% of people you know are unbelievers and they have it. So if God gives you, does he make him God? So you see that it's your own internal transportation that they are doing, they've given you that thing for. So we must understand that God won't be validated by my demands. Seeing as he's eternal, the validation of God is that I come to who he has asked me to be. Do you understand what I'm saying? God looked at Job and God wanted validation. Say, have you seen my servant Job? That was God's validation. Have you seen my servant Job? And that's what the same place is driving us to. Do you understand what we're saying? And so God gave him all that chaos to arrive at one thing in Job. It was an inheritance of Job. We said it last week that faith is what gets you. The walk of faith gets you a place in God. Like God, imagine God as a body. Some people are the representations of the hand of God, and they get there by faith. Listen, God was going to send an eternal king. He needed to raise a king on earth. Praise God. So God goes and anoints a boy called David at the age of 17. And then turns the king against him. Now start your faith journey to that which I have said concerning you. And when David arrived at the throne, what did David occasion? He occasioned the king, the king, Christ, the coming king. He occasioned it. Abraham, the same thing. God was going to give us an eternal inheritance. God was going to give us resurrection. He needed to preach resurrection through a man's life. And God needed someone to believe. He needed someone to father faith. That he will be called the father of faith. There is a place in God called faith. In fact, when he came to the New Testament, he says, you are the children of Abraham. He didn't just say you are the children of God. You are the children of Abraham. You cannot be the child of God if you are not the child of Abraham. And so, to achieve that, God shut the womb of a woman. A place is coming. God is going to say, an order of the prophetic is coming. That if the man says it to you, it will never fail. And then he took a woman, closed her womb. And then she went through, you know, she got to a point. And if he's going to be like that, he must be nurtured in the presence of God. You know what I'm saying? If it's going to be like that, it must be nurtured where? In the presence of God. Because you saw Eli had children and an order was coming in the spirit. But Eli's children did not know the presence. Eli's children were in the field collecting money, collecting food. That was what they were. So God was going to nurture something. So he shut the womb of a woman. Got her to the point where she now said, if you give me, I will give him back to you. That was her faith. He just needed someone to get there. It's going to be hard for any human being to arrive there. There are certain places you cannot arrive. You know they are good, but your inner man, you cannot put yourself there. You know there are certain things I want now that I love them, and I am going after them as much as I can. But if they shifted the environment in such a way, my ginger would rise. Do you get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying? I don't have faith. I don't have faith. I don't have faith. I don't have faith. God forbid, my son is sick. If I don't have it, I'll go and get it. I'll go and get it now. But I won't wait. Do you get what I'm saying? So, what validates God is that you arrive at destiny. And your destiny is your image in Christ. Right? That's the validation that God is. God has sworn that men will walk in a certain way. God has a project and you are that project. And every day he's ensuring that this walk that he has put you in, you arrive. And I will do everything to make you arrive. Some doors you will not ask for, I will open by divine sovereign acts. Some doors will be so easy, but I will say, wait. And you're asking, why am I waiting? Because see, your game is not physical. Your game is eternal. But A, you are not going to disappear out of the flesh. I am going to use material. I am going to use visible to lay hold of invisible. Was that not what Paul said? He says, when you give, says you are heaping treasures. What did Jesus mean by you heap treasures in heaven? Joseph, he says, gather treasures in heaven. What does he mean by that? That heaven will look down from there, they will look at you and say, hey, this one is good. That men have designation. They have quality. Do you get what we're saying?
Yes.
They have quality. Men have quality. They have designation. And they are latent. All of us are latent germs. Faith is the process of dusting off the germ and making it shine, making it come out in its glory. That's what faith is. Your faith has never been about anything earthly. It's always been about achieving the invincible. Praise God. Even when God anoints you and gives you miraculous healing power, when you go out and you demonstrate the miraculous healing power, it's to get men to line up and start the work of faith. You have used faith to start a work of faith. Praise God. So God will not be validated by our physical lives or our physical needs. But he needs us to engage in that realm so that we can have internal movements that will bring him validation. Praise the Lord. Now we still have time. No, I'm still rushing. Okay. Praise the Lord. So let's go back to the story. I think I've laid a good foundation. And we can then just look at things here. So when he heard of Jesus, he sent to him the elders of the Jews beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when he came to Jesus, they besought him immediately, saying that he was worthy for whom you should do this. But for he loved our nation and he has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was not far off, the centurion sent his friends, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself. Let me just quickly learn. Last week I was telling us about there were two sets of people that he sent to Jesus. He sent one that said he was worthy. And then he sent another and I said, there are two ways you can approach God. You can approach him from a legal point of view. You can approach him for what you have done that should give you what you get. Praise God. So the first set of guys went to Jesus and said, this guy is worthy. And they told Jesus what he had done. They said, he has built us this temple you have come to destroy. You didn't catch that. That's what they told him. Said, he was with this guy. This guy is worthy. And many times, unintentionally, we also approach God that way. No matter how much you hear this thing I'm saying, you still do it. Hallelujah. I remember once in school, that's the most consistent time I'll pray, I'll go to class, I'll pray, I'll go to class. I've told you guys the story before. Don't worry. Idara knows the story. Just keep going. Do as if you were hearing it for the first time. I'll pray, I'll go to class. And you know the way university in Nigeria, all of you entering school, you have to enter school with confidence. Don't enter school with rubbish. Don't go and be running. You cannot be a child of this house and lecturers will be. It's not the way school should be. I'm telling you, I remember the first time I went to school abroad, the lecturer was begging me to come and be asking him questions. Say, if you don't get it, Akorede, call me on Sunday. I say, Sunday, won't you be resting, sir? I remember my course rep, course coordinator, what's that thing? The woman knows to talk. First class, said, shh. She was writing on the board. She was like, year one, she just turned back. What do you think you are? All of us, we felt special. We thought, we're in a good school. We did not know that we're in a rubbish school. She's going to deal with us. No matter the problem you have, she cannot see you except on Tuesday. If your father is dying like this, and you go to her office, guess what? She will even allow you to enter. You will enter. You will tell her the problem. She will not say, go outside. Look at the wall. You will now go and read it. That's it. It happened from year one to year four. You knew she was going to do it, but for some reason, you were having hope. And you go, this is funny. You actually go and read it yourself. And you come back. Say, time to see consultation time, Tuesday, 2 to 4. Get out of my office. from year one to year four. Otherwise, I just hated the whole system. I said, you should be. I stopped submitting assignments. Don't be like me. Because it didn't make sense. I would use my money to stress myself. I use my money to photocopy. Money that I did not have. To eat then was a problem. I'll photocopy, then I'll not be begging you to receive the assignment. When I just took the assignment, I would have had extra year. I went to school that day. I almost had an extra year. Something sociology of education or something. And I was doing education. Imagine university students are doing 10 courses, 12 courses per semester. It does not make sense. And everybody is still looking down on you. Even your English mates, they are looking down on you. Rubbish. Go to school with confidence. Confidence will even allow you to pass better. I'm telling you. So this day, I had a fantastic months of devotion, praying, everything cool. I knew God was near me. I knew I was cool with the Lord. And then they posted our results. They pasted it on the wall. So they will lock. So let's say that's the wall. There is a space and this is the screen, the office. So you have to look for the wall from here because they've locked their door. Very silly people. God forgive me. I mean, let me even tell you what I remember. My year four, I felt like, let's this project, let's do it in an interesting way. So I had this idea of of which no, but do you know if I go to a foreign university today, I'll be arrested. I know. If I was thinking about it, I said, once I enroll to any foreign program, I'll tell them, wait, I have a bad education. Understand? Because I don't know how to do reference till today. All of you don't know how to reference properly. All of you in Nigeria, you don't know how to reference properly. Do you know that not referencing is a crime? It's because you're a lawyer now. Not referencing is a crime. You are saying yes. You should be in jail. Not as in, you will check. You write two pages. Two pages is for referencing. I did project. I don't know that anything called referencing. My own. I just did. I gave the woman. And you see, the first professor in the field that I was writing is in that department worldwide. So there's no way you will write that you will not quote her. And then she was the mentor of my supervisor. So I now took my the woman almost cried. Yo, what's this rubbish? I think the woman was Ade something. No Ade Oshu. No Ade Oshu. Who is Ade Oshu? Is she the one that wrote the exam? Nonsense. As in, wait, no education. The score was on the wall. And you know, we have very barbaric, sorry, our education system. Did we now cut the first 7 or 8 numbers of your matric number? And I leave the last two. But the way they did it, they had serial number, like 1, 2, 3, 4, and then matric number. Because it's not everybody. Some people, when they give you education, some people will not come. So you can be 02, but on the board, I know you can be 010, but on the board, you are 02. Like on the serial number. So, me, I checked. I think I was 69. I checked. I thought I was checking matric number, but I was checking serial number. And I wrote well. I taught people. I just seen D, F, G, K. Like, just strange. Hey, I was calm. See, I failed. Like this. Because, see, I don't, till now, but so I went, I was sad for many days. I was just in my room, I was sad, at home. Popsy asked me, said, what happened? I said, Daddy, I failed. I can't forget that adage. Sister, Shimba, Beni, Jubu, Amagtu, Guni. And when a horse throws you down. That's my father. You climb it again. I was lost there. I was feeling so sad. For like 3 weeks, so I was not walking on the road. I can't forget. Agoro Street. I was walking. I was going to school that day. I just stopped. I looked up. I said, Lord, if you like, be messing up my life. But me, I will still be saving you. Let's go. That was what I did, though. Like, and that's faith. That's faith. Faith is not just me praying to him to get that score. Faith is me saying, see, I get what this is all about. I don't like what is going on, but I get what it's all about. Then I went to a service, I sat down. I think it was Covenant Christian Center then. They were still like, they're still like Yaba, but then it was just one service. They were worshiping, I just sat down. Sat down. No. Okay, no. It was during the service that I said, I sat down. They were worshiping, I sat down. I just stood up. I said, Lord, now be worshiping, like, be messing up my life. I said, worshiping. I said, worshiping. But I said it to him. Do you know there are many words we say? The true prayers we pray is not the corporate. The true prayers we pray are those words. They're like from your heart. You mean it. God knows you mean it. I've prayed some wicked prayers in my life. I wish I didn't pray. One day I said to the Lord, you can take everything away from but not this one. Hey, 10 years I was on that case. It was a girl. 10 years. 10 years. I remember where I was when I said it. This thing I'm saying to you, I've been keeping it in my heart for a long time. I remember I was in Benin on Ezekiel's step. She called me. Ah, I liked her so much. I dropped her. I said, Lord, you can take everything, but not this one. I didn't know that I said myself. 10 years. You think it's a joke? That's why when some of you come and say, I'm in a relationship, and we say, we know what we are saying. You will be in there for 10 years. You'll be doing revival. You'll be seeing visions, but you are still there. He's not going to move. You have prayed a prayer, and he has heard you. Say, hey, let's go. And God is a let me know my last. God is a let me know my last. He has your time. In him, you live, you move, you have your being. He has your time. And God, you see, this is what I'm saying. As funny as, just go on your knees and I say, Lord, I give up. Because he can be on the issue for 50 years. 50. You are there. On the same issue. You marry the girl. You are there. Same issue. 50 years. 10 years. So I looked at I've passed that side. So I was walking. And someone called me from school and said, it's not your result. It's not your result. You passed. Ah, when they told me, I felt like a G. I just said, I told you now. Why not Shagara Ivy? But I knew. See, I would have been so ashamed. I would have been so ashamed. I would really have been so ashamed if I didn't say what I said to him. I would have been so ashamed. You see, God puts things. It's like a father. He's trying to get you. And I was giving to you an analogy on Sunday. And the Lord really helped me give her that analogy. I said, imagine, we're talking about ministry and people, I can share, there's nothing major. I said, imagine there is a call. And that call is at the end of the house. It's at the end. And you're inside. And the call is like an aroma. So it has come and you know it and it's so strong, right? And you are in the house. And then all of a sudden, you realize that they say you won't go out. And you're like, this aroma, I can smell it. It has my name on it. Why are you hindering me from going to get it? They say no. Then they give you a cane. They say you should be doing like this. And you're asking yourself, what has doing like this got to do with the aroma and the call that I have? Then after they say you should be doing like this, you did it for like 5 years. Then they say you should be doing like this. And I was telling her on Sunday, I said, you should be like this. And you're doing like this. They say, ah. You're like, ah. You are sure doing it. After a while, you turn it to a song. You say, well, you get what I'm saying? And then you then hear of someone near you that also got an aroma and is out. But you, they say, you're doing like this. And you like this. And then finally, they open the door for you. And then all of a sudden, you realize that the floor wasn't all floor. That the floor had swamps. And that they had placed stones from in different portions. And then two, there are actually snakes in the swamp. Then all of a sudden, it makes sense why they said it should be like this. And then, you see your friend that heard the call. The call is true. The call is real. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's true. It's real. Well, doing like this is the law. Why is it just doing like this? They should be jumping. That's old school. That's Old Testament. Are you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? Yes. But the ones that told you to be fasting, they know why they said you should be fasting. Because they've seen it. The one that said, don't have girlfriend, they know. The one that told you that the TV is the devil's box, they know. You don't know. 10 years into watching TV, you will know. You won't know immediately, you will know. Now I know. Ah, may I know now? You people are righteous. I know Wizkid. I know what he did last week. You just know. They are not interested. I don't need to go and follow it, but when I hear it, I still, oh, okay, it's doing well. Then I tell myself, you know, the job I do, I'm in advertising, I need to know what culture and balance culture you get. You know. So, the doing like this, and the doing like this, and the doing like this, you were learning faith, and you didn't realize it. We don't understand the constitution of faith. Faith is everything. Do we get it? Faith is a walk. Is that we are friends. That this is what faith is, basically. It's not receiving. Is that then he tells me to look at that thing, then I look at it. You know, sometimes because he's telling me to look at, I can go and start, then I've left my friend. Right? I have left my friend. Faith is a consistent walk with the Lord. And as he's showing me and taking me through portions, I am becoming more and more like him. So much so that after I say, ah, Lord, ah, that one is coming. She be Tamagbani, Otinlen, Oyagbabe. Then the artist will say, Ibitamagbani, ah, no, it's not like yesterday. There's another corner by that side. Do we get what we're saying? That's the call. And we've got to be able to, sorry, sit down, sir, thank you. We've got to be able to measure that and navigate it. That's faith. Praise God. Time is not going, no. Jesus. Yesu Bami. Let's go back to the text. Thank God we have this text. We'll not be saying many things. Praise the Lord. I thought time has gone. Praise God. So he sent two sets of people. The first set were people that he sent them based on what he had done. They went to Jesus based on what he had done. The second set were his friends, was based on who he is. It was people that knew his heart. Praise God. Most times, don't approach God. Faith does not approach God or relate with God based on what he has done. Faith approaches God from a friendship point of view. The father of faith, what did he end up as? The friend of God. Do we get it? Faith is cultivating friendship with God. That's what great faith is. Praise God. One of the things we said last week, we said, he started by hearing of God. This story ended by God hear. Jesus heard what he said. You don't get it? Faith gets you to the point where God would then hear what you say. There is no faith without saying. Hallelujah. I mean, it's a little bit disjointed, but let's just follow me, eh? And those two things were very important. And then, go back. And then I like the dynamics of authority. You see, faith is also, there's something around faith and the dynamics of authority that you've got to get. Praise God. The guy came and he broke down a sequence to Jesus. And that's what Jesus heard. And that's what threw Jesus off his feet. And let's look at that and we'll close with that. So there was something around the dynamics of authority and faith. It's that if you are going to have faith, you've got to understand the dynamics of authority. What is one of Kenneth Hagin's biggest contributions to the body of Christ? It was called believer's authority. Praise God. You cannot have faith if you do not understand the dynamics of authority. Praise God. Your investment into understanding the dynamics of authority will help you have an appropriate faith. You cannot have faith. You cannot have faith. You cannot walk faith. You cannot have great faith without understanding the dynamics of authority. Praise God. That's really where functional faith starts from, is you understand the dynamics of authority. Praise God. Two is that you cannot understand the dynamics of authority if you've not placed yourself in the dynamics of authority. It's not what you say with your words, it's what you experience with your life. You know what I'm saying? So if you look at what the guy said, he was going to break down. He said, so the last thing I said before this is faith is saying. There's no faith without saying. The things about confession, about what you say. I realized that when I was in uni, all of a sudden, I don't know if I heard a message or something, but I stumbled on something. Every time I finish praying, I'll put my hand on my head and I'll prophesy on myself. And it radically changed me. Every time I stopped praying, every time I finish praying, I'll just put my hand on my head. Because I realized that many times I pray about many things that are not, I just pray. Sometimes I pray in the spirit, sometimes I pray for many things. All of it, I just say, okay. So what that even also got me to do is it freed my prayer time. I didn't need to pray about myself mostly in my prayer time. I could pray about anything that the Holy Ghost was impressing on my heart. But after that, I'll put my hand on myself and I'll say, you are great. You are highly favored. You will not be this. You will not be that. The more I said it, the more I started seeing myself in that direction. Praise God. Nothing should happen to you by accident. Nothing has happened to me by accident. The place I am now is never by accident. It was, most of the things that happened to me are even underwhelming, in a sense. They never shock me, because it's almost as if I've been living them before they happened. That's how you know you are living in faith, is that the realities of your life are like a replay of what your mind is. Your heart must be there before you experience it in your body. Praise God. Do you hear what we are saying? If you are believing God for healing, your heart must. You enter faith when your heart enters the atmosphere of a healthy person. You didn't catch what I'm saying? The man said to Jesus, he said, don't bother coming. Stay where you are and just say the word. His heart had entered into a realm already. Praise God. But that is activated by speaking. So even though he has said that, he asked Jesus to do one thing. Don't come, don't worry, but speak the word. Hallelujah. Some of us want to have faith. We don't want him to come, but we also don't want to speak the word. The words have to be spoken. Praise God. Words have to be what? They have to be spoken. If you are going to walk in great faith, you must be a man of great words. Praise God. You must be a man of what? Great words. It's impossible. You are not going to have great faith. You are not going to walk in great faith if you speak small words. It means you cannot speak the situation. It means you cannot speak the situation. And I'm also having to learn that. In your finances, you can't speak the situation. About your future, you can't speak the situation. Imagine a life that is framed by words. How much of impossibility that life can birth. It means you can say to yourself, though I was raised in poverty and I was baptized into penury, but I would not be poor. I cannot be poor. It's impossible for me to be poor. I am not trying to. It is just, I just know it. I have come to the awareness that there is no poverty inside my story. I just know it. You see, my words are not the ones that will create it. It's been created already. I am affirming what God has done. That's what faith is. You are affirming what God has done. So you must soak yourself in the word. You cannot have faith if you are not a child of the word. It's impossible. You can have other people's faith. You can send people to go. And those people that will go, they will go with a very bad message. It will be by the mercy. Jesus was having mercy by following him. For who dares commands the King of Glory to come because he has built something he was going to destroy? You don't understand. It is investment, were investments in the things that God came to correct. And that was his, that's the truth. Your best efforts are more showing. That's why you see, the law is showing weaknesses. It's not showing strength. Every time you go to God on the basis of the law, you are reminding him of sin. You're not reminding him of righteousness, of grace. Do we get what we're saying? Someone is confused that you people will abuse grace people, then you now preach grace sometimes. What's going on? Avi? Badest. I keep calling you Badest for some reason. I won't lie. Since I've known you, I know it's the best, but in my mind, it's Badest. So forgive me. You are wondering that these people, they will say grace. They will still preach grace. It's for everything. Everything is, you see, what spoils a meal is the appropriation. That's how you know a bad cook. You give all of them the same ingredient. One knows what the amount to put and when to put it. The same with, because this is seven meals. Preaching and teaching is seven meals. You must know the amount to put and when to put it. Praise God. You can have a truth that you cannot preach the truth to someone at a particular. Certain people say things that they have no idea what they are saying. Eternal life. Most people that say eternal life have no idea. How can you say that's the milk of the word when you never fed on it? You don't understand? You just started eating meat. You never for your own. You didn't have 10 years, 5 years, 3 years of listening to egging. All of a sudden, egging is the milk of the world to you. Am I lying? Pastor Tochi, you know many guys like that. In fact, many of your guys are like that. I'm calling you out. I'm sorry. They didn't listen to egging, but a milk of the world. That's milk. Let's go to spirit. You cannot. Until you have fed on the milk. And the milk has developed teeth inside you. I remember the first day I heard Pastor Tyre. I remember the first day I met Reverend. Oh! I remember. They were in Igbobi College, the convention, 07. Final year. I entered into the room. And Pastor Tyre was preaching about the faith of the Son of God, and I was crying. I was not crying because it was as if, yay, my Bible. I have been reading this thing. Nobody told me. Finally, I'm not mad. That was it. The milk had grown me to a point where I could receive what they were saying. It wasn't exciting to my head. It was refreshing to my heart. So you cannot just wake up one day and say, Copeland is the milk of the word. You don't have gum. And you want to break bone. You'll just be bleeding. You are drinking your own blood. You have become jazz man. That's jazz now. You're not be doing fake prophecy. It's jazz. That's drinking your own blood. It's not the blood of Jesus. It's your own blood that you are drinking. Where was I, Jerry? Where was I? Dynamics of authority. And I'll close with this. So dynamics of authority. So faith starts with speaking first. But you must understand the dynamics of authority. And one of the first things this guy said, I am a man under authority. If you are not a man that can be guided, you cannot be a man that can have faith. We are very quick to think that faith is power. And whenever you think of faith is power, you think of yourself as the one with the power, the one on top. Look at the way this guy broke it down. He says, one, I am a man under authority. Two, and I have people under authority. So it means this. The word is the instrument of faith, right? He said, just say the word. He was not explaining why he meant just say the word. He was explaining what the word, how the word is operated. He was explaining the place of the word, the structure of the word in the spirit, right? So say, I am a man under authority. If the word cannot direct you, the word cannot direct diseases. You do not catch that. If the word cannot tell you to keep quiet, the word cannot tell demons to keep quiet. If the word cannot tell you to give, the word cannot bring things for you to receive. You see it? He said, I am a man under authority. Which means that everything I say to people, say, I say this one stop, it stops. I say that one go, it goes. It means someone else can say it to me too. They can tell me to stop and I stop. They can tell me to go and I go. Then you will understand faith. Because you see, the folly of many times when we preach faith is we preach it as though it puts you on top. You know what I'm saying? You will call it. Yes, it's true, but can they call you? If they can call you, you can call it. Check every man that has great faith. They could call him. They could tell him, get up, and he will go. You want great faith? Elijah had great faith, Abby. Go to the widow of Zarephath, he will go. He didn't really have his emotions weren't always from him. It was a response to something that was being said to him. And that was how he understood it. If you understand the dynamics of authority and you will be faithful and understand the place of your words, you will have great faith. He says, I am a man under authority and I have people under me. And who was he talking to? He was talking to Jesus. Jesus was the best example of what he was saying. Bible says, Philippians, how he left his great estates to come down. Right? Yeah. So he was a man that could be told what to do. So he became a man that could tell things what to do. Do we get it? Quit chasing fables. Because if you can be told what to do and you can say what should be done, you can shift internally. If you cannot be told what, remember, the purpose of faith is to make eternal shifts in you in line with the destiny that God has for you, which is Christ. If Christ cannot tell you what to do, Christ will help you that your words do not do. Because if Christ helps you, if your word can do and they can't call you back, it's doom. Do we get it? God has never given us something that will kill us. He's always careful. So when you hear great faith, look at the men with great faith. It's easy to look at Bishop and say, Bishop has great faith. Bishop said, the time he moved these people into the bush, he said, am I crazy? He said, am I crazy? It's the bush for people or animals. Because now you see universities on it, and you're like, wow. But the time they told him, he said, am I crazy? The bush is not, it's for animals. So I moved people there. Some people said, you are arrogant. Am I crazy? The geo, now moved people there. Now, we are young. We see a city and we say, these men had great faith. The time they moved there, they were foolish. It was the operation of foolishness. Praise God. If you're going to have great faith, if you're going to walk in great faith, these two things, understand the value of words and treasure it. Two, understand the dynamics of authority. If you understand what I'm saying now, you know the Holy Ghost will have more inroad in our lives. If I understand the dynamics of authority. If I understand that if he can tell me to do it, then I can tell it to go. Praise God. If he cannot tell me to do it, he won't release virtue to me. See, he will still be sovereign. There will still be days. And that's what silly people used to justify themselves. Because you see, if I say the name of Jesus, sometimes the faith of the person that is hearing the name of Jesus is catching that and is using it. It's not me. Do we get what we're saying? It's not me. But there are days where it's me. Because I've learned. And to the measure I subject myself in that dynamics of authority is to the same measure I'm able to dispense and leave. Let's bow down our heads and pray. Let's just...